Blog Talk Radio.
Too much month left over at the end of the money? Tired of stretching out your paycheck to the last penny? Learn how to think like a millionaire, live within your means, and find true financial independence with Heather Wagenhals on Lock Your Wealth Radio. Tune in to the midweek update for all the tips and tricks you'll need to manage your money. Here's your host, Heather Wagenhals.
Greetings and salutations, everyone. Welcome to the broadcast. You are listening to the midweek update from Unlock Your Wealth Radio. I am she, your money mentor, your hostess with the financial mostess, your purveyor of prosperity. Yes, it is I, Heather Wagenhals, bringing you 30 minutes dedicated to giving you the financial tools you need to get through the week. And today's episode is so exciting. Save it or chuck it. What do we do when it comes to our financial records? How long should we hang on to them? What should we do with them? Where can we store them? And do we really need all this paperwork? Or is electronic versions okay too? That is today's topic. And just so you know, for those of you who have been living under a rock and didn't catch the last two hour shows that we do on Saturdays with T. Harv Eker, today is the last day to get in on his Millionaire Mind Intensive special. You can guess complimentary passes to his Millionaire Mind Intensive anywhere in the world. Anywhere in the world. So it doesn't have to be here in the U.S. He is in New Zealand right now. So you can go there to the Millionaire Mind Intensive at the next upcoming workshop. All you have to do to find out when, where, why, and how is surf on over to www.millionairemind.com/unlockyourwealth. That's where you get the deal. If you just go to Millionaire Mind, you won't get the deal. You got to go to Unlock Your Wealth, that extension on millionairemind.com/unlockyourwealth in order to get the deal set aside just for Unlock Your Wealth radio listeners. And today's the last day. So click away, get registered. And if you are going to go to the Millionaire Mind Intensive in Arizona, I would love to meet you. I'm going to be there personally along with your production hostess with the mostess, the Hunster, Kristen Hunt. She will also be there live and in full effect. And we would love to meet you and say hi and chat you up and find out what makes this show work for you. We would love to meet you and in person, and it's so great to be able to put a face with the names and the emails and the Twitter follower slogan bylines. It's just great to be able to be a part of it because it's so one-dimensional. I speak, you listen, and I don't know unless I get feedback. And so we would love to meet you in person, and we will be at the one here in Arizona. So if you can make it to Arizona, if you're not an Arizona person but would like to get to chat us up, that would be super great. I'll have, yes, you can, books to give away and personalize while we're there, so that'll be pretty exciting. So I hope to see you folks there. I hope you take advantage of this. It is a once-in-a-lifetime kind of deal. These offers don't go along or around for very often, and the deal goes away today, so take advantage of it and sign up. So the question is financial records. We start accumulating them once we get that first job, that first W-2, that first tax return, that first credit card statement, the checking account, saving account statements, all this stuff starts to accumulate. And what do we do with them? Now, ideally, especially as we get up there, you can't take it all with you. Now, one of the things that is so great about us in our generation is that we have technology, and technology keeps collapsing its storage size, more storage and less space in the virtual world. And that's what's so great about financial records, because physical records become boxes and boxes. What if you own a business? You have to keep all the records for your clients. Boxes and boxes. What if you have to keep them under lock and key because you have sensitive client information? Then you have to rent storage places, prove that there's adequate security, that there's no way for a security breach to happen, that if you do dispose of documents after the prescribed time period, that they're shredded, all this stuff. And, you know, it can get to be overwhelming. And before you know it, you look like you belong on that show, The Hoarders, because it's all your financial documents. And you don't have to cart them around. And it was very funny because I still have, like, my first job pay stubs and things like that. It's kind of funny that I have all of those things. And you don't really need to have them all, and you don't have to save them forever. And with the miracles of modern technology, we can scan them. So if they're sentimental, like, oh, this is the first pay stub from my very first job that was not like my own little lawn mowing service, because that was like my own little business, but my first job where someone else paid me. And so when you have sentimental stuff like that, you know, put it in your scrapbook or scan it, and then you can destroy the original thing. But everybody wants to know, how long do you save certain things? So for taxes, you need to keep your tax returns and canceled checks or receipts for alimony, charitable contributions, mortgage interest deductions, and retirement plan contributions, and any records for tax deductions you have taken for 7 years. The IRS has 3 years from your filing date to audit your return if it suspects that there are some good faith mistakes. The 3-year deadline also applies if you discover a mistake in your return and decide to file an amended return to claim a refund. For example, let's say you're a business owner and you file high income for last year, but you haven't made a nickel this year. You've actually lost money this year. You can go back and refile and adjust that return so you can lower your tax burden. The IRS has 6 years to challenge your return if it thinks that you underreported your gross income by 25% or more. And there is no time limit if you failed to file your return or if you filed a fraudulent return. So if you did it the way you were supposed to do it and you did it correctly, and they have 6 years to go back, 1 year extra for good measure. Now, my advice to you, again, would be to scan it and save it in a virtual world, and then you can just destroy it. And I would do that not on a computer specifically, but on an external storage device like a DVD or CD-ROM or jump drive or any kind of external storage device. So in the event that your computer gets destroyed, you still have a copy of those records. For your IRA contribution records, this is your individual retirement account, forever, you permanently need to save those records. If you made a non-deductible contribution to an IRA, you need to keep the records indefinitely to prove that you already paid tax on the money when it comes time to withdraw. So you're looking at holding a document for 40 plus years, if it was early on in your life, which hopefully, as a regular listener of this show, you are already in your late teens and early 20s making those retirement account contributions. So you've got quite some time ahead of you that you've got to hold on to that. So you want to make sure that you're storing those in a safe place. They have some really affordable fireproof filing safes. And you can get those at any discount store. I got a really cool one that'll store letter-sized file folders, like hanging file folders, and be lockable and fireproof up to like 2,000 degrees or something for like $100 or less. I think I got it at either Wally World or Target. I can't remember. But that's a those are documents that you want to hang on to ad infinitum. And so if you don't put it in a safety deposit box, which could run you big bucks every month, depending on the accumulation and the size of those records, you can use a hanging file folder that's a lockable, fireproof safe. How about retirement savings plan statements from 1 year to permanently? Again, you want to keep your quarterly statements from 401k or other plans until you receive your annual summary. And then if your quarterly statements match up to what's on your annual summary, then you only need to keep the annual summary, and you can shred the quarterlies. But you want to keep the annual summaries until you retire and start pulling the money out, or you close the account and roll it over. Now, how about bank records? Bank records are always something that you kind of go, I don't know, what, do I keep it? Do I hang on to it? From 1 year to ad infinitum, it depends. What you want to do is every year on your checking accounts, you want to go through and keep those canceled checks and any items that are related to your taxes, business expenses, home improvements, and mortgage payments. So if you pay your bills online, you want to make sure that you save those statements that show and have the record of them going out. So if they're related to your taxes, you're going to have that 7-year rule. If the account stays open, you may want to keep annual records of those things that you made contributions to. Like, again, I love the simplicity and the reduced paperwork and storage of the online banking. So when I make payments and all of that stuff, I don't print out my receipt. I print it to a PDF and store it. And that way I still have it if I need it. I can move it anywhere, like into my tax file for the upcoming tax season. And I can move the documents around with simplicity and ease. But all of those other ones that aren't really relevant, like your credit card payments and those kind of things, you really don't need to save those. Especially if you have closed out your account, your final payment, and the record of that last statement from your credit card company showing that you've closed the account is all you really need to hang on to. Now, what about brokerage statements? This is real simple. You only need to hang on to your brokerage statements until you sell the security itself. You will need the purchase or sale slip from your brokerage or mutual fund to prove whether you have capital gains or losses when it comes to tax time. But outside of that, you don't need to keep them after you sell the securities. How about bills? From 1 year to ad infinitum. So what you want to do is go through your bills once a year. In most cases, when the canceled check from a paid bill has been returned, you can shred the bill because you have the proof in that canceled check. However, bills for big purchases such as jewelry, rugs, appliances, antiques, cars or collectibles, furniture, computers, etc., should be kept in an insurance file for proof of the value in the event of loss or damage. So if you need to establish a certain level of value, you'll want to be able to hang on to those. Goodness gracious, we are just cranking through, aren't we? We are coming up upon our break, so we have so many more financial records to address. But first, we must chat with our sponsors for a moment, so hang with us. You are listening to the Midweek Update, and keep it or chuck it. What do we do with those financial records? All on the Midweek Update from Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. We'll be right back with more after this.
Hey, this is Coca Brown from the hit radio show, The Truth with Coca Brown on HollywoodOutlaws.com radio. And you're listening to me on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio.
Hi, it's Marty Logan here from the Top Gun Sales Academy. You know, one thing I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Naturally, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, and Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside. They knew they could easily become. Truly, financial coaching can be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. That toll-free number again is 1-866-966-9420, or simply visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, industries.com. Like, go there, totally!
Even in today's economy, I, Count Dracula, have had to foreclose on my castle. But because of Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio, I have not only reacquired my castle, but I have opened a resort for the undead. Tune in to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She's the only one not trying to suck you dry.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You are listening to Say It or Chuck It on the midweek update from Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. I am she, your hostess with the financial mostess. And we were talking about what do we keep and for how long. So credit card receipts and their respective statements. You need to keep those for anywhere from 45 days to 7 years. You want to keep your original receipts until you get your monthly statements so you can compare. And then if they match up, you can shred the receipt. If the receipt is for a large ticket item, again, you want to save it to establish value for your insurance purposes or in case you need to return an item or get service or repair on it so you can prove on the date that you purchased it. You'll want to keep the statements for 7 years if you have tax-related expenses on them. I usually make it simple for myself, and I flag them with those little sign here tabs that we use in real estate, and I highlight the particular item that I'm referencing so I don't have to wonder why I kept that statement for so long. I just highlight the item, the purpose for me saving it, and then that way I know what it's related or referring to. Paycheck stubs, you only need to save for a year. Once you get your W-2 from your employer, you want to make sure that that information matches the last pay stub you have. If it does, you can shred the stubs. If it doesn't, you want to go to your employer and demand a corrected form, which is known as a W-2C. Now, if you have union dues or you have 401k contributions or any kind of deductibles, you want to make sure that you are paying attention to and comparing those with their respective statements for your 401k and for any union dues or any kind of other items that are garnished from your wages. And I made that terrible mistake of paying off a student loan, and they held my payment and didn't apply it, but I stopped paying attention to it after I sent that last check because I figured I'm done. And lo and behold, slowly and surely, the years crept up, and evidently, it wasn't all paid off. There was like $22 or something that turned into like $800. And they garnished my wages for it. I just kept dismissing it because I'm like, why pay this? This is silly. And so I ignored it. Shame on me. Shame on me for making that mistake because, holy smokes. And then I didn't have any of that stuff, any of my documentation, because it had been like, you know, 15 years by the time they finally whacked me for it. And I was like, well, I already took care of this. But they didn't care, and they whacked my, it came right out of my paycheck. And it seemed like it was more money, but there was just not much I could do without any proof or receipt. So that's why this receipt thing is kind of a little bit important. Now, home ownership or condominium ownership records are things that you definitely want to keep, and you want to do that from anywhere from 6 years to permanently. You want to keep all the records relating to your purchase. The price, the cost of all the permanent improvements, any remodeling, additions or installations, changing out your curtains don't count. But if you add a bathroom on or gut and redo your kitchen, those are things that can be deductible. But you've got to save all of your receipts to prove that you did the work. Holding on to these records are important because it's also not only an expense to keep for the home, and general maintenance doesn't count, by the way, but it lowers your overall taxable obligation when you sell it. So the types of documents you want to save would be specifically your HUD-1 settlement statement from the purchase transaction, because that says how much it is, what you paid, the whole gig. And then you want to save all of these receipts when you do remodeling projects. If you have a contractor involved, make sure you save all of their bills and keep them in one area for use with your taxes. What it can do by doing this is it leaves you with more money in your pocket when you go to sell your home because your capital gains is reduced by the amount of value that you spent on that. Some other things that you want to save is your insurance policies, but depending on what it is. If you have homeowners, renters, auto, or health policies, and there's no way you're going to file a claim on them, or they've lapsed, or for asset-based insurance, you've replaced the item, meaning you sold it, like a car, a motorcycle, or whatever, you don't need to keep it. It's done, so ditch that paperwork. Now, if your life insurance policy has lapsed or expired before you destroy that document, check to make sure it has no cash value before discarding, because you might want to pull that money out before you shred it and get rid of it. If you receive an insurance payment for whatever reason, a claim, reimbursement, a life insurance payout, you want to keep those records for a minimum of 7 years or perhaps indefinitely, because Uncle Sam may want to know at some point down the line why you added a zero or more to your asset base. And when they go snooping, let me just tell you, it is not fun. I just got another rectal exam from the IRS, and it's not my favorite process, let me just tell you. Anyhow, so again, if you have any investments, specifically real estate, it doesn't matter if it's your primary residence or not. You want to make sure that you're saving all of that information. Now, on investment properties, general maintenance is a business expense on this asset. And so those receipts for repairs and ongoing maintenance to those properties is deductible. So those are things that you also want to save. Now, wills and estate plans, this is the last thing that we want to address. With most documents, disposing of outdated versions is optional, It's something that you can do after a given amount of time. With a state document, such disposal is often a necessity if you don't want people to be confused. If you have two or three versions of a will or a trust, or maybe you've changed your power of attorney or any health care or, you know, living will type stuff, what to do, do not resuscitate clause. Maybe you initially had one and you don't want it anymore. The best way to deal with that is to destroy those originals and any copies once they've been replaced by entirely new versions. Now, if you feel like you have to have it in some way, shape, or form, again, scan it and save it electronically. But any estate or trust tax return that's been filed, you do want to keep those. And this is so important because this can cause confusion, it can cause unneeded anguish, and these are the things that rip families apart. And I can tell you that from personal experience. It will shred your family when this stuff isn't taken care of properly. And it forever alters the way you view that person that passed when they don't take care of things properly. It's not about whether or not you get things, but it's what their intention was. And if that's not clear, you're left with all these ambiguous feelings. You don't know what they wanted, were you loved, what was their intent, because they didn't take care of this paperwork. So be proactive and make sure that you have these in place. And if you change them, again, once you have permanently filed and replaced it with a new document that's on file with your attorney, then you can go ahead and destroy the other originals. And for the sake and sanity of your family members and to preserve your legacy, this is exactly what you want to be doing, is to make sure that you have all of this. I have always had quite a high level of sophistication to filing systems. And when my father passed away, I kind of dropped the ball and had trouble getting things together after that. And the best way to manage paperwork that was taught to me was by a gentleman that I worked with, and he called it the 4 D's. And the 4 D's stood for do it, delegate it, defer it, or discard it. So as you're going through these mounds of paperwork, if it's not something you can address right now, you can defer it. But remember, we're working off of Tom Hopkins' touch it once policy. So if you defer it, the next time you touch it, you must address it. So you can do it right then and there. Is it signing something? Is it, you know, calling somebody to switch an account number or change a name that maybe you never got around to? Simple things, you can do it right then and there. Stuff that may need to be done but doesn't need to be done by you, you can delegate it to someone else, a secretary, a personal assistant, a spouse, a child, whoever. Get them to do it. Or defer it. Again, put it in a file with a date that you will address it, and then the next time you touch it, you must address it. Or just discard it. Crank it through the shredder. I don't need this. And if you use this punch list from today, this will be our featured strategy for this week in our unlockyourwealth.com website strategies. You can know when to discard it. Otherwise, you got to defer it. I am so excited about this coming Saturday show. We have Bruce Fleet, author of The Solomon Secret, joining us. We are checking in again with Coco Brown. And it's review, revise, and recommit to our financial goals and plans. So make sure you're following us on Twitter, Unlock YR Wealth. Friend us and fan us on Facebook. And visit our website, become a member today, and reap all the financial benefits that other free members are reaping with a key membership at www.unlockyourwealth.com. Thank you so much for joining us today. We are so excited to have had you on our broadcast with us. And, hey, here's to your financial independence. We'll chat with you on Saturday. Finally, financial freedom can be yours.